I'm really rich. I'll show you that next time.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
And you're listening to Flashpoints. This is your weekly election crimes bulletin with best-selling author, now the producer of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. That's the motion picture. And Greg Palast is still joining us every week. The story is still breaking. Greg, I heard that you received a phone call from one of the presidential candidates who didn't win, Jill Stein. What did she want?
Yeah, well, she wanted to know who actually won. I got called last week. I was woken up by Jill Stein, who asked me to be the first journalist to know and to make the announcement that she was going to demand and fund and carry out a recount of the votes in three key states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. I'm not a spokesman for her campaign. She just, because I've done this investigation for Rolling Stone, I've discussed these the dangers of the manipulation of the vote with her, and I also spent many hours discussing this matter with her chief attorney. They asked me to make this announcement.
Well, help us understand, because, you know, some people think, oh, God, it's over. She didn't have a chance anyway. This doesn't matter. Trump is saying that he, you know, if this is, it is vote fraud, and he would have won the popular vote, too, if there weren't so many ripoffs. So put it in context, Greg, because there's a lot of confusion about this now.
Yes. Okay. Number one, the big secret, maybe not to KPFA listeners and Flashpoints listeners, the big secret of American democracy is we don't count all the votes. About 6 million ballots, give or take, don't get counted. 6 million votes are rejected in one way or another. That's the official number, by the way, if you calculate from the data at the Elections Assistance Commission, which... But since most American journalists are number phobic or fact phobic, we don't get that info. For example, in the last election, we had 2.7 million ballots called provisional ballots, and over 1 million were basically thrown in the dumpster, not counted. This explains, by the way, what's called the redshift. Now, remember that people are saying, oh my God, the exit polls don't match the official count. Now, there's three reasons, potential reasons for that. One, the exit polls are wrong. That's, you can have projected polls which are wrong, not exit polls. Exit polls are the gold standard. It's what our State Department uses to determine the real vote in the election. And if the official vote doesn't match the exit polls, it's the official vote which our government rejects in other nations. Serbia, Ukraine, Peru, refused to recognize those elections where the exit polls did not match the official vote, that we didn't accept the official vote. The other is that the official vote is wrong. How could that be? Well, let's put it this way. There's two explanations. There's several explanations. One that's been thrown around is that the Russians are messing around and hacking into these machines. Let's put that aside a moment. It's great James Bond stuff, but there's a simpler explanation. I just told you that at least 1 million provisional ballots would have been rejected in this nation in the last week. And as people cast these ballots, a provisional ballot is one where you say you find your name missing from the voter rolls. Instead of you letting you pound the desk and scream and holler, they're supposed to hand you a provisional ballot. You fill it out, you put in your reasons why you're a correct voter, you certify you are a legal voter under penalty of law, et cetera. It goes into an envelope, and then they decide later whether they'll count that vote. Now, if you take the provisional ballots that are rejected and the absentee ballots that are rejected, we had about 30 million people cast their ballots absentee. Now, that's an astonishing number. But an astonishing number of those, at least a half million to a million, are thrown away. Why? They didn't like, they say your signature on your envelope didn't match the signature in the book. You put a middle initial in your signature, you didn't register with the middle initial. You used a different zip code on the outside of the envelope than the inside of the envelope. In places like Ohio, it says put down your driver's license number. You don't have a driver's license, so you left it blank instead of writing no driver's license. Boom, your absentee is chucked in the garbage. All kinds of crazy reasons, including postage due. So there goes another million votes. Provisional ballots, a million, and there goes another million. Then you have overvotes, undervotes. Now, what the heck is that? In Michigan, for example, there are an awful lot of people who voted for two people for president. Now, I know the Detroit schools are pretty crap, but most people know you can only vote for one person for president. So what is the problem there? Miscalibration of the machines. You're putting in dots like you're doing answering an SAT exam. The machine has to read those perfectly. Well, a lot of those machines are misaligned and miscalibrated. Famous incidents like the butterfly ballot of 2000 back in Palm Beach. But this happens all the time. And Bob Fitricus, chief lawyer for the Green Team, says there's a massive problem, miscalibration, in Michigan and Wisconsin. And so they literally are training 2,000 volunteers, if they can get them all trained up, to actually look at the dots on those cards, every single dot on every single ballot, about 5 million ballots, cards that they're going to have to eyeball, to see if the machine says you voted twice, or was the machine knocked off balance a little so it looked like you voted twice, when one is a vote for president and one is a vote for a senator. So they have to go through each of those ballots. And so that, if you look at the ballots that are thrown away, spoiled because the machine didn't read them correctly, they're thrown away, they reject the absentee ballot, they reject the provisional ballot, and several other reasons to not count your ballot. If you take all those non-counted ballots and you assume that almost all of them are Democrats, that explains the entire so-called redshift, the difference between the exit poll saying Hillary won and the official poll saying Trump won. The difference is because when you leave the poll, the exit pollsters ask you how you voted. They don't ask you if your vote counted because you don't know. Now, why would I think that they're Democratic ballots? Well, because the other nasty secret of American democracy, according to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, the chance your vote will be invalidated for a technical reason is 900% higher if you're black than if you're white. And black ballots are blue ballots. That is, Democratic ballots for the most part.
Right, right.
So there you are. There's your numbers. And you don't need Russian spies. You don't need some guy in a cave changing your vote from Hillary to Donald. You just need to throw out enough ballots. And that's why they have the recount, to try to recapture as many as possible. And that's going to be a big fight, because even if they say this person was handed a provisional ballot because they didn't have the right ID, that's not correct. They're still we know that they are a legal voter. They still may say, no, too bad. Tough luck, Jack. And lose that vote. But that's going to be, so the fight will be not only counting the votes and looking at the votes, the piece of paper, each one, eyeballing each one, they're also going to have to fight over what should be counted or not counted. And crazy things, like if someone put a little X into a box instead of filling in the bubble, and you saw this in my film, you don't fill in the bubble, you could lose your vote. If you put a check mark or something like that, you don't fully fill in a bubble. They'll say, well, you're supposed to fill in the bubble. And a check mark doesn't count, even though it used to be in the United States of America, when we had a Supreme Court that looked out for the people, we had a simple rule for a century that said that the intent of the voter rules. It doesn't matter whether you put a check mark or an X mark or fill in a bubble. You can't lose your vote because you put a check instead of a bubble. But now that's all changed. And these guys play this game, and again, it's targeted at the minority voter.
Now, how, Greg, we spent a lot of time over the last, 25 weeks or so leading up to the election trying to, working with you, trying to give people a sense of what could happen to their vote. And you evaluated all kinds of systems, particularly, and this was a big part of your film, was the cross-check system. Do we know the impact of all the sort of the collective actions to prevent black and brown people, Asian people from voting? Is there a way to assess what happened overall in that context?
We have a good assessment. It's one of the reasons Bob Fetrakis, who is in the film The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and I worked for a long time and was on with me on Democracy Now, why he's running this, because he's not on a cavort that he can't win. There is enough evidence, strong evidence, that, for example, the miscalibrations were heaviest in Milwaukee in Wisconsin, that the rejected provisionals were largest among students in Madison, et cetera, that there is enough prima facie evidence of the steal through these kind of ugly Jim Crow tactics that they can stand a chance of undoing it. It'll be difficult in Pennsylvania because you have what are called push and pray machines. You have these direct recording electronic voting machines where you put your thumb on something and it records and you hope it does. But there's no paper ballot. There's no trail. There's no kind of receipt, paper receipt printed by the machine, et cetera. Some of the new computers have that capability, and in some states, that capability of, for example, photographing your vote or otherwise keeping a record was disabled, that we know. And, in fact, I was in court with Fetrakis before the election to say, don't do this. So I think that we do see that there's a massive chance of stealing, not just in those three states, because Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona are all deeply suspect results, way off from the Hillary election exit poll wins.
Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, we're speaking with Greg Palast, and we're talking about the recall. Now, Jill Stein doesn't expect to win. What are the Clintons? What's your best understanding about what the Clintons, usually the big parties don't like to get involved, don't like to soil their hands. We heard that first the Clintons weren't interested, now they are interested. Do they have a reason to be interested in this?
Well, let's look at the good side and the bad side. Let's assume that they're just saying it's important that democracy have its say, that my voters' votes be protected, and that I will fight for that no one should lose their vote for some cockamamie machine game or because they didn't have the right piece of paper for an ID. Where they were sent to a provisional ballot for all kinds of wrong reasons. They were called a felon when they've never gotten a parking ticket. It would be good to think that she has democracy in mind. The other might be the panic that Jill Stein is getting the names of all her donors who are interested in the recount. She'd rather keep that money and that list for herself. That would be a nasty way of looking at it, and I'll leave it to you to make your own decisions.
Well, so what comes next? This process goes on forever, or?
No, unfortunately, fortunately it's not forever, but unfortunately, you're going to have, no matter what, a meeting of the Electoral College on December 19th. So you have a practical limit of about December 12th for the states to review the results of the recount and certify a new set of electors if that's the result. I would love to see, since Hillary Clinton has massive more resources than the Green Party, that she open up these recounts in Florida, Arizona, Ohio, and very much in Florida. But I don't know if they're going to do that. But in this case, they've got to move quick. That's why they need literally thousands of volunteers. They're starting a training by Skype tomorrow, the Green campaign. And by the way, I should note that they don't know the price is open-ended, too, because the states tell them what the price is, and no, Jill Stein can't get rich from the recount, because under the FEC is really, really, the Federal Elections Commission is super strict about collecting money for recounts. They have to go into a special account. Every dime is accounted for and can't go for anything but that recount. The reason why the price seems to keep rising is that the states determine the price. What they do is they charge you for all the time of their elections officials in every county at a prorated price that they come up with. And the more they stall, the more they make it difficult, the higher the price and the more urgent, so that, you know, you could get an absolutely backbreaking price. They chose to go, frankly, into only three states because they didn't even know if they could get the money to do the three, just the three minimum states that they need. So, I mean, they were very pleasantly surprised by this massive public reaction. That's, you know, like I say, I think that panicked Hillary. And so that helps. But we really have no idea what the final bill will be from these states which are extremely hostile to this count. In fact, this morning, Wisconsin, just to add complexity, said no, Fetrakis and his team of volunteers cannot go through each paper ballot, each card that goes to the scanner with the dots. That will be up to each county official. That means he now has to send lawyers into 72 counties instantly. Just the travel costs, just even with volunteer lawyers, train them about what to do, and just challenging if some, you know, county official says, "Nah, you're not going to look at my ballots. We'll do it ourselves.
All right,
stay out of the room. We're going to look at these ballots ourselves. We'll tell you what we come up with." Literally, Wisconsin said that the county elections official could do that, and so this could drag it. This could make it scary close to the limit, which is effectively December 12th or 13th.
Well, and I'm sure Trump would like to find out the real truth as well, because he's been ripped off, he says. Greg Palast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, the film now. Is the film still available? Do we still want to see film, Greg?
Actually, the film is really really taken off now for all the sad reasons. But you can get The Best Democracy Money Can Buy from Amazon for a couple bucks, and it's kind of gone wild here. And I'm glad about that, not for commercial reasons, because it's not for profit project, but for people should know what happened to their democracy.
All right, we're going to leave it right there, Greg Palast. Best Democracy Money Can Buy. You can check him out at gregpalast.com, and it will not be the last you hear of him on these airwaves. Greg, thank you.
Sorry we have to keep meeting like this.
There are worse things. Stay tuned.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that next time.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.